hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. We're talking today about breeding. Yeah, we're moving into the Christmas season. Winter is upon us. And we're going to be visiting with some friends from the Rutherford County Library System as we talk about reading. Trey Gwynn is one of our guests this morning, and Katie Turner is the other. And we just have all sorts of activities going on at our Rutherford County Public Library. And y'all just have a seat. That's a list that Katie had sent me there, so I thought that'll help you out a little bit. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today. Yeah. So what's happening at the library?
Lots of great stuff.
What's not happening?
that's probably the better question.
I was driving down the road the other day and saw your bookmobile at one of the new schools in the area, so it's out and about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Mike Cleaves, who is in charge of the bookmobile, he is getting out into the community. He was in all of the Christmas parades with the bookmobile. We're really proud of it, and he's doing a really good job of getting it out into the community.
That bookmobile is really neat. It has it's brand new. Well, relatively new.
It's coming up on a year old. Like early next year, it'll be a year old.
Well, that's still new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I was saying that as evidence that it was new.
Well, what is different about this bookmobile?
It runs.
Okay.
The old one broke so much we just couldn't fix it anymore, like even if we threw money at it. So this one, it's a little more compact, which is good because it means that more of us can drive it when we need to.
So it's smaller.
Yeah, then. Yeah. And it's just easier to get around in. And it's more high tech. It has a speaker system on the outside, so we can like do story times and stuff like that, play music if we're at a stop. It's wheelchair accessible because we've got a ramp on the back, or not a ramp, a lift on the back. It's got a Wi-Fi router in it, so that if you're near the bookmobile, you can hook it up to the internet, hook your devices up to the internet. So it's more advanced. That's the word I would use, I think. More technologically advanced.
So when I saw it at one of the schools, it's one of the new. It was parked in front of one of the new public schools that's, I guess they're called public schools. They are smaller schools than you pay to go to them.
Oh, like charter schools.
Charter school. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're charter.
I don't know.
I'm not sure the terminology, but it's a new school. What kind of service do you offer to these people? I guess they don't have a library.
Yeah, so the bookmobile visits a lot of preschools and daycares, and also assisted living facilities and nursing homes, basically places where your patrons cannot come physically to the branch to visit you, so we take the branch to them. They do visit a lot of area preschools and daycares, and then maybe the class checks out several books, or each of the kids have their own library card, and so they can check out books instead, whatever works.
Depending on the age of the group that Mike and his staff go to visit, they may do story time as well. So like at a lot of the daycares and younger elementary school stops, he'll even read a story to the people that come to visit.
I bet you those story times are really popular.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Mike's a big I hope he's not listening to this because I think he would be embarrassed by this. But he's a big teddy bear. So the kids love him.
So does he do the story time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what, does he read a book to him or just tell a story?
Usually reading a book of some sort.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I used to go out on the Wednesday route, and that was kind of what we did is picked about 3 books per classroom to read. And, yeah, just whatever was seasonal or thematic or whatever looked fun for the day.
Do you also go to senior citizen areas, whether it's a living sitter or maybe one of the community sitters for seniors?
Mostly, and I think I'm saying this right, mostly Mike goes to a lot of retirement homes, assisted living, memory centers, and stuff like that. Those are, I would bet about half of the stops that he does, maybe even more. You know, the bookmobile makes regular stops at Adam's Place and the Rutherford and places in Smyrna. So if we were ranking the places that the bookmobile goes, it's like number one, assisted living retirement homes, and then number two, daycares. And then that's like 90% of their stops.
Yeah. And then the rest is outreach with schools and parent engagement nights and parades and the other stuff.
We're one of the few counties who have a bookmobile, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes, sir. They were really popular in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Then they went out of popularity. Funding bodies like the state and national government weren't all that interested in funding them for a while. But then there's been an uptick in popularity with them recently. Once again, it's another place where I think you could say that the board and Rita, before she retired, really had their fingers on the pulse, you know, between that and the tech, right? Like kind of staying out ahead of latest trends.
Boy, that technology sitter is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That is, and you're involved in that, aren't you?
Well, that's where a lot of my computer classes are, just because it kind of fits their...
You have a large room full of computers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell us a little about the computer classes. It's Christmas time. A lot of new computers going to be received that you don't know how to use, and you can help.
Sure. So we have recently we've had kind of two different types of computer classes. There's classes that are on a specific topic. Like we last month I did multiple classes on Canva, which is a design program that you can use online, I was showing people how to make like holiday cards using Canva, but then we also do a lot of like one-on-one stuff. I think we talked about that last time I was here. We do one-on-one sessions at all of our branches. So if you are out there and you know, your children or your grandchildren give you a new tablet, or if you're a parent that wants a kid to be safe on their computer or something like that, just check out our website, because we have all these one-on-one sessions. It's first come, first serve. I can usually juggle like two or three people, but it's a great opportunity to have like some personalized help with whatever you've got going on, whether that's a brand new device that you don't know anything about, or if you have, you know, if you're having a specific issue with your tablet or your phone or something like that. I'm always happy to sit there and puzzle through it with you, because that's what we usually have to do.
You sort of wing your way through it. I mean, it's not it's just computer thinking, I guess.
You and I know each other a little bit. You know that I have 2 degrees in history and no degrees in technology. So so often if I'm helping someone, I'm also kind of having to figure it out as I go along.
Well, but there is a trend of thought that fits with computer technology.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a logic to it. it's just figuring out the logic to it.
And so you can help people who have a phone, a smartphone, that is doing some strange things that they wish it was not doing.
I can try. I can try my best. And usually we can muddle our way through it.
Now, do you have classes in how to do these things?
We don't have any classes on like we used to have, like iPhone 101 or Android 101, you know, smartphone 101 essentially. But we just found that a lot of the people that were coming to it needed a little more specialized care, which is why we expanded the one-on-one classes. We are still offering stuff like, Excel and cybersecurity and stuff like that. And those are still in a more traditional classroom setting. And that's actually one of my things that I need to work on today is January's schedule, because we did a big computer class survey asking our patrons what they were interested in, and so I've been crunching those numbers, and those will be reflected on my January schedule when I'm done with it.
So with the classes that you're offering over at the High Tech Center, what are they? I mean, you have free computer classes, and we have sometimes 3:30 on Monday, I think. 2:30 on Tuesdays.
Sure. Well, so at the Tech specifically, there's a couple different classes. There are the classes that I teach, which are on a wide variety of subjects. But then we also have some classes that we host that are open to the public, that are put on by Rutherford County Education, those are the ones that you're referring to, and those are great because they do modules where, like, you come in and you kind of are assessed for what your level of knowledge about technology is, and then once you've been assessed, you are given specific modules that will help you, and it's great. It's the instructors are awesome. We have a lot of people that are regulars at those events, and those are at the Tech on the times that you just rattled off. I don't know them off the top of my head.
Monday at 3:30 and Tuesday at 2:30. Mm-hmm. I'm just used to those because we promote those on the radio on a regular basis. So you need to get in touch with the Tech Center, Technology Engagement Center. That's what TEC. Mm-hmm. And where is that located?
It's right next to Hobgood Elementary, on the corner of Minerva and what is now Martin Luther King Jr. It looks exactly like Hobgood. Like, we copied the architectural style of Hobgood, but it is a library. It is open to the public. And we encourage people to go because not only is it a great place to learn stuff, it is also, just a fun branch to go to. Like, there's video games and, the makerspace and stuff like that. So even if you don't need the one-on-one help or computer classes, even if you're more advanced, you can come in and 3D print something or Glowforge something or play some obscure video game from the 1980s on our giant arcade machine, you know. So, like, there's a ton of stuff to do there.
That's a cool place.
It is a neat place.
Now, can you do these to a limited basis at other branches around the county? Eagleville, Smyrna.
I still have classes at almost every other branch. Eagleville, we don't really have classes, but I do go out there for my one-on-one help. It's just that Eagleville doesn't have a lot of space, you know. So, so one-on-one help is a little more conducive to the space available there. But Smyrna, MGL, Linebaugh, you know, we have. Classes just not quite as specialized as at the tech. Like, the Tech will do computer programming and stuff like that, and we haven't really explored that at other branches just because it kind of fits the Tech's raison d'etre. You know what I mean?
So that's you can check it out or just call the branch nearest you and say I need some help.
Yeah, or you know, our website, it has the calendar on it, and it has all of the computer classes on it.
Now, there are a lot of fun things to do, and Katie, this is where you come in. I'm guessing mm-hmm. this is a topic that you're knowing about, the Cinderella Countdown.
Yes.
What is that?
That is our next big event at Linebaugh. We have been kind of using the Imagine Your Story time theme that would have run during the summer of 2020 that no one really got to enjoy. And yeah. a lot of our patrons that I see were not around yet for, because that's now 4 years ago. And so we're doing Imagine Your Story, Storytime theme activities. And one of those is the Cinderella's Countdown to Noon party on New Year's Eve. Midnight is just, you know, too late for young children to stay up for.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a countdown to noon, and that's going to run from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And we're asking kids to dress up in their fairy tale finest. If you've got any princely or princess outfits or, you know, fairy godmother, fairy attire, you can wear that the party.
You could come dressed as a knight.
You could, yes.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Prince Knight, yes. And if you don't have any of those, we've got tons of crafts. We've got shields and crowns and fairy wands, so you can make your own while you're there. We've got a glass slipper and glass sneaker craft that the kids are going to do. And then we'll also be showing the Disney classic movie, doing a couple of Cinderella retellings, and we'll have some snacks and drinks. And then we'll do a balloon drop right at noon. We'll count down till noon.
Now, is there a fee for this?
Nope, it's free.
Free, okay. Is that the way it is with most of the story times and everything?
Yep, that's the library. It's free.
All right. Well, how about these other libraries? We keep hearing about you're going to expand into the neighborhoods. You're looking for locations to go to. Is that just a rumor, or is there any truth to that?
I think that's probably in a however many year plan.
Yeah, I mean, if we could snap our fingers and suddenly have a Blackman or, you know, a Christiana branch, mm-hmm. we totally mm-hmm. would. But, you know, that's a long-term goal. I think we clearly need more branches. I mean, if you look at the state library best practices, that's not the term, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but you know, we're supposed to have a certain amount of square footage per citizen in the county, and the best way to get that would be to have more branches. But you know, that's a problem for whoever takes over as the new director. We'll let them figure that out.
How's that search coming? Any idea?
It's going.
That's a Mindy or someone from the board question. You're asking that. That's above our pay grade.
Okay. Well, now here's something that might be right there for us. The Three Little Pigs. That's a pretty heavy story.
Yeah.
So when is that coming up?
So that was coming up when we were looking at Storytime books for this season of Storytimes that runs from September through April, we were trying to do all these retellings and fairy tale stories from that Imagine Your Story theme. And we had so many books about the Three Little Pigs, we decided to just devote an extra event to that. And so this is going to be a STEM story time, STEM for science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we're going to do a STEM story time, read some of those books about the Three Little Pigs, and then really dive into some lessons about architecture and have a makerspace and some space for the kids to see if they could build up something. I might bring in my leaf blower just to like test things, you know, just for fun.
But you're not gonna bring in a wolf.
No. Don't have access to a wolf. Do have access to a leaf blower.
And you do have leaves, probably.
Well, yeah, maybe not. Yeah. But so that event is going to be January 18th at 10 o'clock. That'll be for kids of all ages.
Now, are most of these at the Line Ball Library?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a really great, when we moved things around in 2018, we took out some walls, moved some things around, moved all of the adult materials upstairs, and that really expanded the children's section downstairs to where, like, pretty much everything to the right of the circulation desk is children's. And so we've got a really great program space where we can fit, like, you know, 200 people, maybe, no, not super comfortably, but we can do it for an event.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've got tons of space there for all of our story times. And that's where we held all of our performers for summer reading. That's where we had Santa and Mrs. Claus last week. And yeah, that's where we'll do the Countdown to Noon and the Three Little Pigs.
So if you have not been down to look at the renovated Line Ball Library, you've missed something.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great space. It really is. And it's nice because, like I said, everything is pretty much within sight of either my office or my team's youth services desk kind of looks out over the rest of the stacks there. That's nice.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, maybe we can touch a little on, we've got some more children's activities to tell you about. But one of the popular things that was always at the Line Ball Library is checking your family heritage, doing a little, looking into your past. Where's your family from? That's been moved, and it's even better than ever. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Stay with us.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary. Just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
Hi, this is Amanda.
CBS News Brief. Investigators in Wisconsin are searching for a motive a day after police say a 15-year-old girl opened fire, killing a classmate and a substitute teacher at her small Christian school in Madison. Police Chief Sean Barnes tells CBS.
What we do know is that this child obviously was very troubled. There's usually some type of warning signs that we all may have missed.
He says the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Ukraine says it assassinated a top defense chief in Russia today. CBS's Haley Ott.
Kirillov and the unit he headed were under sanctions by a number of countries for the use of chemical weapons on the battlefield in Ukraine.
He was killed by a bomb hidden in an electric scooter. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby still insisting hundreds of drone sightings in the East pose no threat.
There's absolutely no indication at this point that there's a national security threat or a public security threat based on what we know today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Dan at Music World in Drummer's Den. We have new things going on here for Christmas. We have gift cards available for any amount from a dollar up to whatever you want to spend on it. We have Christmas specials going on. Our prices are competitive. Sometimes we're even below online prices. We have layaway plans available, and this is real popular at Christmas. Music World in Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across the street from Indian Hills Golf Course.
A few spotty rain showers possible late this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the low 60s. Tonight, a chance for showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low near 53. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 54.
Good morning. Still running slow in Robertson County on 24 eastbound around the 19-mile mark. That's delaying a lot of folks coming in from Clarksville out of Montgomery County into that section of Robertson County. Moving this rank to the side, 65 north at 440 here in South Nashville. Still some volume on 65 south there in Millersville. Looks like it's still dragging along. Princess Hot Chicken has live entertainment every Wednesday night from 6 to 9. Check it out online for more information at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekday mornings at 8:10.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Want to say happy birthday to Herschel Rich Jr. He is the birthday winner today. Wins that delicious banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Herschel Rich Jr. He's 39. I guess it's okay to tell how old somebody is. If you're 39, I would shout it. Okay. And our good neighbor of the day is Mindy Gannon. Mindy Gannon, she gets flowers from all the family over there at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Jenny Harrison and the family over there making everything special at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. The person who nominated Mindy Gannon, by the way, said she always has a positive attitude even when things may not be going in that direction. Yeah. Welcome back. Trey Gwynn and Katie Turner are with us from the Rutherford County Public Library. We're talking about things that you need to know about dealing with our library. And we were talking at the beginning of the break about how one of the popular things is to trace your family heritage. Now, I'm not going to say that's you're going to have enough time to do a good job on that between now and Christmas, but you can really do a good job of that at your special facility now. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. The HRC, the Historic Research Center, which is kind of in the front part of the county archives, is where we've moved most of our genealogical resources. Kayla Howard is over there. She can help you research, can help you pull the documents you need. Plus you have access, well, limited access to the resources of the county archive, which makes it even more powerful of a place to do research. And of course, all of our branches have access to, Ancestry.com and Heritage Quest, which are powerful genealogy tools. One of my favorite things is that I'm at MGL inside of Patterson Park every other Thursday. And when I'm there, there's a group of women who are there every Thursday doing genealogical research using the computers at MGL. And it's just so fun to hear them making little discoveries and stuff like that and making little connections. It's great. And I'll throw this out there. This has nothing to do with the library, but if you're interested in doing genealogical research and collecting family history, Christmas is a great time to do some oral history collection. So if you have an older relative with really great stories, sit them down in front of a microphone and just say, okay, tell me about X, you know, tell me about what it was like to live in this year, or were you alive when Kennedy was shot? Like, that kind of thing. There are some best practices for that kind of thing, but if you're just doing it for your own personal, use, it's better to get the audio than to be too worried about the rules of oral history and not get it. You know what I mean?
Now, are they still offering that certificate? You find out if you have some family here in Rutherford County at a certain time.
I believe so. Yes, sir. That's a question for Kayla. And if people are interested in that, they can reach out to.
And those are free too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They can reach out directly to the HRC and Kayla can get them set up and prepared for that research.
So if you have pretty good idea of your family's background, mm-hmm. you can go over and do a little research and
sure.
say, here it is.
Yes.
You have to put it in writing.
Yes.
And
yes,
you turn it in to her and she gives you a certificate
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that says you're one of the, I don't think they call it, is it the first families of Rutherford County?
I can't remember if it's first or founding or something like that. Yeah.
But it's something you'd be proud to have. Mm-hmm. And that's another service of the Rutherford County Public Library.
Yes, and it's another. You'd think that she was still my boss the way that I'm brown nosing, but that's another clever thing that I think Rita did while she was there was made the connection to get it moved over there, so that there's more resources and more room at Linebaugh, so that we can a lot of the moving around that Katie was talking about a minute ago,
yeah.
some of that was thanks to us moving all that genealogical stuff to the archive.
Yeah, because taking that out to the HRC freed up that conference room upstairs that we now rent out. Because we do room bookings. You can book a room at any of our branches online mm-hmm. through our website. And yeah, if you need a meeting space or you know, you've got a club or something, yeah, you can go ahead and fill out that form and yeah.
That's fantastic.
And it's also free.
Yeah, it's free.
That's the Line Ball Library, the other libraries, they're all free. I mean, you've paid for it with taxes, so you mm-hmm. might as well use it.
Yeah, there are very few things that we will ask money for. Sometimes if we do like a craft or something, like I know that over at MGL they do... So like if you go over to the tech and you use the 3D printer or something, mm-hmm. you may have to pay for the filament that is used.
Supplies.
But that it's just replacement costs. No, we're not making money.
Right.
Okay. So these are things that are available at our public library mm-hmm. and they are all over town and they're free. Some things coming up, Autism Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's getting in the news over the past several years. I've noticed all of a sudden there's a big focus on autism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is the reasoning behind that? Not just in Tennessee, but I'm seeing it across the nation and across the world.
Yeah, I think looking back over the last couple of decades, there is a better idea of what people... I don't know, a better awareness of some of these neurodiverse communities. And so, that's one of the things that we're trying to get more resources available to our patrons and the people in our community. And so we actually, we were awarded a grant through Kentucky Fried Wishes, and that was awarded to Autism Tennessee. And so that came to us, and it was... to create a sensory-friendly space. We have a new reading nook in Line Ball Library that is kind of off to the side, meant to be kind of a space to recoup and get away if you're a little overstimulated. And there are some nice lights there and some sensory-friendly, like sensory tiles that you can step on. It's really cool.
What happens when you step on? Does it make music
so it's
or
like,
something?
No, so sorry. They have, it's like oil and water, but because they don't mix, it makes the colors kind of swirl.
Oh,
and so
okay.
You can step on it and kids, it's awesome. Kids
I think I'd like to see the kids.
They're really
could
fun.
I step on them
yes,
too?
Yes, actually. I was going to say that was one of the things we've got those. And we've also got little like tree trunk stools, and both of those have a pretty high weight limit because that was one of the things we were looking at. We were like, can I roll a book card over this? Can I step on this myself? And yes, the answer is yes. So we've got the sensory friendly space. We're going to have sensory kits that we give out to patrons. And then we're also updating our collection. We'll have some more books and materials that are written by people with autism and neurodiverse collections. And so Autism Tennessee is coming to Line Ball Library to do an event and talk about those resources and talk about autism and neurodiversity. And that's going to be Saturday, January 25th at 10 o'clock.
Now, I understand that autism, some of the people with autism are the leaders of the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, so this is, it doesn't hold you back. You
no.
only hold yourself back.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, there's just a greater awareness of the broader spectrum of neurodiversity now, that we have more information about autism. We have more information about ADHD. We have more information about all of these different things. And so it helps us as librarians to know, and dyslexia, right? It helps us as librarians to know, okay, well, we need some books with, you know, that are, you know, like decodable books. We need books with dyslexic-friendly fonts. We need books with large print. We need audio books and print materials in one. We have these Wonder Books and Vox books that we have in the collection now that have the audio book and the print material together so you can hear it, you can read it, and that really helps those struggling readers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that everybody who has autism knows that they have it, or do they sometimes discover it through programs like this?
I would say that's probably a question for a doctor, because that's how you get the diagnosis. But Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to the conversation we were having earlier. I think there's a generational divide because we are the definition of autism and neurodiversity is ever changing, and so people who are even as young as Katie and I, they diagnosed autism differently when mm-hmm. we were younger than they do now. So there is probably a generational divide there. Like, well, or to use Katie and I again as an example, like when we were younger, you would hear people say, "Oh, you know, autism generally affects boys," but over time they've discovered that no, it just affects girls differently, and it's being misdiagnosed. You know, you know, it's on a spectrum, which means that there are people who are going about their daily life who might be on that spectrum and don't even realize it.
So this is going to be, if you're wanting to learn more about autism, mm-hmm. Saturday, January the 25th, mm-hmm. 10 o'clock in the morning until noon.
And specifically autism resources, like resources for families that have children that are neurodiverse or something like that. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, but it's not really like a learn more about autism, see if you're diagnosed, you know.
Yeah,
it's more
this
of
isn't
like,
going to be a diagnostic tool. This is a, yeah, this is information for those who have a family member. Yeah.
Very good. So circle that on your calendar. We will be reminding you more about it as we get a little closer. It sounds like so much is going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is you're just pulling it into full steam.
Yeah, we've got we take a pause for on story time during the month of December after we have Santa and Mrs. Claus visit us, which was on December 11th last week. But then, we'll pick back up when the kids go back to school January 7th.
Okay. So circle this on your calendar again. January the 25th, that's a Saturday, 10 until 12, Autism, Tennessee. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and continue the conversation right here on WGNS as we focus on the Rutherford County Library System.
On air, online, and on the phone. You can listen to us anywhere. News Radio WGNS is Rutherford County's place to talk.
You know, gift cards are always the easiest gift. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. We will buy gift cards and just kind of have them on hand. They're amazing gifts to give to teachers. If you want to give a gift at your workout groups, you know, you have a personal trainer, family members. It's great to give gifts for 16, 17, 18 years old who are just now beginning to date and they need to be able to have some place to take someone on a date to. Gift cards are always the easiest gift. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
At Bud's Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Few spotty rain showers possible late this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the low 60s. Tonight, a chance for showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low near 53. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 54.
Catch the Action Line every weekday morning at 8, followed by the Roundtable at 9. Information you trust from leaders you know here on News Radio WGNS.
Hey, welcome back. The final segment this morning is we are looking into what's happening at our public library. And visiting with us this morning, Katie Turner and Trey Gwynn. They have the answers. We've got a teen creative writing club coming up. Now, what is that all about? That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so we had some staff changeover recently, and I pulled somebody from the tech. I pulled Taylor Davis. She's the newest member of our team at Linebaugh, and she's got tons of great ideas, and one of those is the Teen Creative Writing Club. We've had a Teen Creative Writing Club in the past, but it's been a while. And it was really, really popular with our homeschool crowd. So I'm hoping that this is a big thing again. It's going to start up in January, and that'll meet from 4 to 5:30 p.m. on just the first and third Tuesdays. And kind of the format we did before and that we're planning to do again is to talk about a creative writing type like poetry, screenwriting. I don't know. She's got the whole plan ready. So the discussion and the kind of workshop about that, whichever creative writing topic she's going to do is going to be on that first Tuesday of the month. And then the third, the club will come in with their whatever they've written and share that with the group and kind of discuss and constructive critique. And so that's going to be a really cool thing.
So you can just put, if you're interested in writing, and you're a teenager, mm-hmm. This is a good opportunity. And you can just put it down first and third Tuesday, mm-hmm. January, February, on and on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where will this be again?
That's going to be at Linebaugh in the club room.
Okay. At Linebaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Are all of these things at Linebaugh?
All the stuff that I've been talking about.
Yeah. Everything Katie does is at Linebaugh.
That's me.
If I was talking about it, it's at all the other branches.
Okay. But we're focusing online.
Yeah.
What about cyber safe? Being cyber safe for kids. First of all, what is being cyber safe? How could kids get in? That's a loaded question.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of kids have access to devices, you know, phones, tablets, computers, and at a much earlier age. And so having them be aware of what not in a scary way of what's out there, but just keeping them safe first, right? That's the goal, is to teach them not to share their names or where they live. Or I tell my kids and my Girl Scout troop, anything that you might find on a driver's license is not information that you can give out to someone online. All of those cybersecurity, cyber safety rules are going to be discussed on January 11th, starting at 10 o'clock. We've got a workshop for kids in second through fourth grades. So that's like ages 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. And they're going to learn all about digital safety.
So that's coming up, cyber safety for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids can get into cyber problems easily. I get into them very easily, and I hopefully know how mm-hmm. to avoid them, mm-hmm. but I still stumble into them.
Well, and kids are, you know, we want them to be this way, but they're kind of naturally trusting. And I've had this conversation with my kiddos. Like, if you don't know the person in real life, if you have not met them face to face, that's not a friend you can have on a digital game. That's not somebody that you actually know. You can't be friends with them.
While we're talking about digital games and things of that sort, Girls Who Code. We've talked about Girls Who Code mm-hmm. before, and I still don't have a grasp yet of that. What is it? This is not the Morse code we're talking about.
No, yeah. So so Girls Who Code is an organization that puts out curriculum that is specifically designed to decrease the gender gap in STEM fields. There had been a lot of women in STEM fields, and then over the last couple of decades, that's kind of dwindled, and now it's more male-focused. And so Girls Who Code is trying to get women and people of color back into those STEM fields. And so I lead a club at Linebaugh of Girls Who Code that is specifically for third through fifth graders. It's not just for girls, it's for everybody. Again, that curriculum is kind of pointed towards girls, but it's open to everybody because, again, we're the library and it's free and it's for everybody. So I've got about 9 active kids in my Girls Who Code Club, and it meets on Thursdays from 4 to 4:45. And that also picks back up on January 9th. We had our little like Christmas party coding games at the beginning of December, and then we were on pause.
Okay.
Yeah, when you look at your computer screen and, you know, you see a program running, behind what you're actually seeing, what you're seeing is the user interface. Behind that is just line after line of written code. And when I say that, I mean like stuff as simple as print Bart's name on the screen, all the way up to super, super advanced stuff. And so when we talk about coding, we're just talking about the lines and lines and lines of instructions that play out whenever you use something on the computer. And what's funny is it actually is kind of like Morse code, in that Morse code is made up of, it's either silence or dot or a dash, right? Like, mm-hmm, there is no right. other, there are no yeah. other choices,
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When it, at its core, at the most simple level, when it comes to computers, it's all ones and zeros.
It's a binary system.
Yeah. When you type in a B, that B is represented by a bunch of zeros and ones, mm-hmm. and you put it through a code, and you put it through more codes, and you put it through more codes, and then that's what you see on the screen. And it's wild because like even as recently as 20 years ago, you could look at a website, like you could find the coding behind the website, and as a layperson, kind of decipher what it was telling you. If you looked at the code behind even a simple page like Google, like the front page of Google right now, the coding is so complex that a layperson could never decipher what it's trying to say.
So are you teaching
how to code? So all of that to say, for the 3rd through 5th graders, we're not anywhere near that. We're talking about what a binary system is.
Okay.
And we're talking about the basis of formulas and algorithms and if-then thinking. If I do this, then this happens, else this other thing happens. When we talked about binary systems and Morse, we actually did talk about Morse code recently. We had a bunch of math problems up on the screen, and they had to be those switches for ones and mm-hmm. zeros, and they'd stand up if they were a one and sit down if they were a zero. So we practiced turning on and off for the different numbers.
January 9th.
Yeah, comes back January 9th. And you don't have to have any experience with coding, and you can just come in and see how you feel about it. And if you want to sign up after that, you can have access to the Girls Who Code headquarters. And, yeah, we'll get you in the club.
What time does that happen?
4 to 4:45.
4 to 4:45. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these are some things you need to be aware of. That's going to pretty well do it for our show today. We do thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
I tell you, it was exciting. A variety of information from Trey Gwynn and Katie Turner from the Rutherford County Library System. Get in touch with our library. Be involved in our library.
Yes, please come visit us.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fun place, I tell you. Thanks for joining us. Hey, have a great day.